And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, I don't see how we can avoid it. Everybody else is talking only about it, so let's talk about it, the trial, the verdict, the significance. I'm sure you've been thinking about it.
Yes. Yes. It's a unique occurrence in American jurisprudence. Some will say the system worked. Some will say the system failed. And the Republicans are seeming to say, we don't like the system. We want to undermine the system. And that's the real danger here. That's a real danger. The rule of law being assailed. What Trump has done is taken his political ideas about election, that everything is rigged unless I win electorally, to the judicial branch now. Everything is rigged unless I win the lawsuit. There is no room for alternate outcomes. There's only one outcome that's acceptable, and that's a Trump win. And all of a sudden, that didn't occur. I've been saying over the last couple weeks, if you recall, that the one thing that is really driving Donald Trump crazy is he's not in charge here. He is sitting in a court where a judge has the power and the say and the wherewithal to enforce the rules. And that's what's been happening. And Trump can't change that. I mean, he goes out after each day or before each day and makes a statement. But once he enters that domain, it's beyond his control. And the jury is also out of beyond his control, as we saw. And in some of these cases, especially, it's going to gnaw at him doubly. Don't forget, he has the one case down in Washington where there's a black woman judge. The appeals court that's going to hear his appeal in New York is made up of five black women. He's really, this kind of thing is driving him and his supporters crazy, that people who aren't white males aren't running the system anymore. And even Judge Marchand has a Hispanic background. That there's that undertow about this trial that will percolate, I think, more and more to the surface as we get through the appellate process and things like that.
Let me turn to the political aspects of the trial.
Sure.
Because a lot of commentators who have written about it have said that the case shouldn't have been brought, and the trial on balance has been good for Trump because it enables him to solidify his support and to activate his base. Do you think the trial should have been brought? Do you think that the political effects of the trial are beneficial to Trump or beneficial to fighting Trump?
Well, as to the first question, it should have been brought. It should have been brought a lot sooner. It should have been brought, you know, Michael Cohen went to jail out of these transactions, and he was merely the agent for Trump. If the agent is guilty of crimes and the agent goes to jail, how does the principal, who everybody knew, get away with not even being charged? It should have been done. There was a reluctance of the feds to do it. And don't forget, after a period of time between 2016 or 17 and 2021, the federal prosecutor's office was the Trump administration.
Who put Cohen in jail? Trump?
Yes. And don't forget, we had that thing. Remember, they tried to silence him with his book. They try to block that.
They put him back in jail, or they put him in solitary.
Yeah, they put him back in jail, and the court slammed them for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you had the state one. Cy Vance didn't bring it. There was a thing there, remember, about campaign contributions to Cy Vance,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And I just think that Vance, particularly at his stage in life and whatever, didn't want to be bothered with this. And don't forget, Alvin Bragg didn't want to bring it. He sort of got forced into it. But give him credit.
But Bragg actually reformulated the case. The
right.
case that Bragg bought was not the case that the people who were working for Vance had thought of.
Right. And they did a real professional job right from the beginning. Their strategy was excellent. In other words, put David Pecker on first to explain this and work your way through 19 witnesses before you got to Michael Cohen. And what they... And by the time they got to Cohen, you know, Cohen could say, hey, you know, all of what I'm saying has been corroborated previously. And don't forget, you had paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
The paperwork you couldn't get around. There's Donald Trump's handwriting, his signature on the checks
mm-hmm.
that Michael Cohen said were signed in the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have that, remember that Justice Department memo left over from the Nixon-Agnew years saying that you couldn't prosecute a sitting president.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things. The big criticisms are on the other cases that Merrick Garland didn't seem like he wanted to bring, and he should have, you know, taking the high road, so to speak, which is what Donald Trump and the Republicans have been counting on Democrats to do all along. Michelle Obama's thing, when they go low, we go high. That doesn't really work. The contrary theory is starting to break through to Democrats. I was telling you before the show, I was reading Rachel Bitticoffer's book, Hit 'Em Where It Hurts. You can't play this high-minded game because it just works to the benefit of the Republicans. There is no low that they won't go to, as we saw during this trial, where they all appeared in uniform and red ties in the courtroom to support Donald Trump. You know, you have these prim and proper and Republicans who are morally claim to the moral high ground, but are really morally compromised, saying, yeah, I'm going over there to support a guy who was cheated on his wife with a porn star and then pay her off. And we don't see anything wrong in that. Or the law and order mantra of the Republican Party. Law and order only means if we're going to jail African Americans or Democrats. You can't apply law and order to us. They really abandoned whatever they were supposed to have stood for Donald Trump. But this is the way of authoritarians. This is what happens when you have the authoritarian or neo-fascistic personality cults that occur. And the Republicans have fit right into it.
So do you think that this conviction will have any negative effect on Trump's support within the Republican group?
Well, you asked about solidifying. I'm not sure how much more solidifying you can get than what he already had. Core MAGA base was always with him and made every possible excuse to stay with him. Where I think it matters is on the margins. There are a number of Republicans who said, well, I'm sort of with Trump, but if he, you know, the Nikki Haley voters, so to speak, if he's convicted, I can't see myself voting for him. Now, they may find another excuse to go back, but he's going to lose some of that, and he's going to lose some of the independence. I don't think he's going to pick up many people. He's just going to, you know, and his whole strategy for the election has been the base. Bring out the entire base.
Remember, so that's, does this help him bring out the base?
Well, that was his strategy in 2020. If you remember, he wanted to up his, 63 million votes from 2016 to 70 million.
Right.
We talked about that. He got 74 million.
Right.
The problem was that Joe Biden got 81 million.
Right.
For him. How many more than 74 million can he get? And then the converse is also out there. Can Joe Biden hold on to his 81 million? And in the proper places, can Joe Biden expand the 81 million? That's going to be the issue there. These two things are running on parallel tracks, so to speak. And we are the one true thing that Trump said was, you know, the poll that matters is the one on November 5th. And the Democrats are pretty well aware of that right now as well. That's the one. I want to say one more thing. You know, you noticed that Trump, and I've said this to my conservative friends, that they always say things outside of court. They always say things when they're not under oath. But when it comes to putting up or shutting up in court, all of a sudden, remember Rudy Giuliani back in 2020 when he got to court in Pennsylvania, said, oh, well, this isn't a fraud case, and then went out and talked to the microphones and said it was about fraud.
Yeah.
Trump said, I'm going to testify. You know, well, he didn't testify. He wouldn't put himself under oath, and he wouldn't subject himself to cross-examination. There was, in the E. Jean Carroll case, remember, he had been cross-examined because it was a civil case, and he didn't do very well.
No.
There was another, which other matter was it that he took the Fifth Amendment hundreds of times? Was that the January 6th Commission or something? I can't remember what it was, but he has invoked the Fifth Amendment. And then there's all these videos surfacing of him from way back prior to 2016 saying, well, if you take the Fifth Amendment, you must be guilty of something.
Right.
I think the Dems have to start running that again. And then the ones about how Hillary Clinton can't serve if she's guilty of a crime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Keep running Donald Trump's words right back at him. That's playing offense.
Do you think they will do that?
I don't know. you never know. I think they're getting more towards that. The Biden team, they've always wanted to be above this fray, but I think they're realizing, given the polling and everything, that they've got to get down and dirty and get into the pigsty with Trump. You know, there's that old saying, you never want to wrestle with a pig. You come out filthy, and the pig only enjoys it more. In this kind of thing, people want to see a fight. There's that element of the Democratic Party that hates conflict. We always have to play nice. We're the peaceniks and all that stuff. But there's also an element of the American public and then the independents say, we want somebody that's going to fight for us. That's one of the things that the Republicans have. They keep pointing out to strength. We're fighters. Remember, on January 6th, Donald Trump said, you got to fight for this or you're going to lose your country.
Right.
That's their theory.
So let me ask you this question. Supposing Trump had either been acquitted or had been a hung jury anyway, not convicted.
Right.
How do you think that would have affected the Democratic Party and the anti-Trump forces?
That would have dispirited them. They were counting on it. They've had so many setbacks. You know, Hillary was supposed to win and she lost. Mueller was supposed to get him and he didn't. All of these other things that he's kind of skated on, they didn't bring these charges early enough to have them decided before the 2024 election. This would have, I think, really hurt some of their turnout and taken away communications and would have put Donald Trump back on offense. He's on defense now. He's trying to play offense. He's putting lipstick on the pig, so to speak, but it's still a pig, and he can't get rid of that. He is now a convicted felon.
I think that the real significance, the political significance of this trial is the boost to morale that it gave the Democrats and the anti-Trump forces, where, for whatever the reason, they're anti-Trump, even if they're not pro-Biden. And the support that it gives to the opposition to the growing fascist movement.
I think that's the
significance of it.
Yeah, that was the other side of the coin of what I said. You know, I said it would have dispirited them.
Yeah,
you've hit the other side. But we have to also look at certain things. Donald Trump has been gaining support among this billionaire class, who
rushed to give him money in the wake of his conviction.
Yeah. And these people said, "Oh, I'm not going to be with them this time." And all of a sudden, now they're with him.
Right.
First of all, I think that a lot of them were just looking for some excuse to go back into the fold.
Right.
I think some of them are also the authoritarian personalities. They run their businesses this way. And
you think Elon Musk has an authoritarian personality?
What do you think? Although Elon Musk, he's got other issues. Don't forget, he's on the autism spectrum as well.
So now you're prejudiced against people with mental disabilities.
Well, Donald Trump is. He's got a mental disability. Let's face it. He's not just the narcissism. He's a sociopath, they're running these ads in Pennsylvania. They're spending a lot of money on Pennsylvania ads, calling Joe Biden demented and everything. But I think the word that they should use for the Democrats use for Donald Trump is deranged. Deluded. He's delusional. That's the word I would use. You know, he keeps thinking of these things. He comes out with these statements that are just off the wall. He's deluded. There's no basis in fact for any of this stuff that
but
he says.
But he's only delusional if you think he's serious, if he means it, that he believes it.
Well, that's,
he's not delusional if he thinks that this is a good con.
Yeah, well.
And after all, this you're dealing with a con artist. That's who he is.
That's his strength. Yeah. He's the best con artist in the history of the world.
That's right. People say he's a real estate developer. He's not a real estate developer. He's a salesman.
That's it.
He's a used car salesman who happens to be selling real estate.
Oh, now you're going to have to use car salesman.
Well, I'm with the majority of Americans on that.
Yeah. Yes, but it's still, the money has been flowing back to him. And I think that the Democrats should point that out. I think that they should attack the billionaires. That would play to their base.
Work, except that the Clinton wing of the Democratic Party is opposed to that.
Well, they've got, they're Hollywood billionaires and stuff. But
yeah.
I think that they could word it in a way that could be helpful.
Isn't that the kind of thing that Bernie Sanders has been arguing for the last however many years?
Sure. Sure. But, no matter how much money a billionaire gives, the billionaire still only has one vote.
That's true.
It has one vote. Speaking of billionaires, we have a parallel thing happening in Pennsylvania here with Dave McCormick. And, the hedge fund guy is running for Senate against Bob Casey. And a bunch of his billionaire buddies, his hedge fund buddies, got together and just put $30 million together for ad buys against Bob Casey.
One guy gave him $10
million. Yeah, $30 million is a lot of money to spend in one state if they know how to spend it right.
And they're not even spending it all over the course of the campaign. They're spending it right this minute, now.
Right now, well, I think they have to because the polls show that McCormick's down anywhere from 3 to 9 or 10 points. The last poll had him down, I think, 8. It had Casey up 49, 41.
Well, that's very interesting because I spoke to Casey this week.
Okay.
And I asked him how he saw the election, both for the president and for the Senate. And he said he thought they would both be decided within 1 point. I said, well, I hear you on the presidency, but even your race? And he said, yes, even my race. And then he went on to say something interesting. He said the last election was the most expensive, he thought, in the history of the country. $381 million spent on the election in Pennsylvania. And he said this one will be more expensive. So naturally, I said, are you going to have the money? And he said, yeah, we have the money, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the first point you made, that he's thinking of as a one-point race, is smart.
Yeah.
I think that you run scared.
Yep.
And he's not taking it for granted. I've gotten that impression from him as well.
He also said that they were going to have a real concentration on rural counties, not because they think they can win them, just because they want to change the margin a little bit. And they have worksheets worked up already on local issues, county by county. And when he was in Susquehanna County, he had a worksheet, and he was able to speak about local issues, bread and butter issues, as it related to the county, dealing with how much money came out of the Democratic proposals and Democratic enacted laws and executive orders that benefit school kids. 7,000 kids in Susquehanna County's lunches were paid for completely in this last period by money that the Biden administration threw off. I talked about money. We have two hospitals up here. Talked about money that went to one of the two hospitals. I mean, it takes a little bit of delving in the weeds to come up with this stuff. And he had other information like that. So if he did that about this county, which is tiny, I'm sure they're doing the same thing about other rural counties.
Well, let me say, I think part of this is the Fetterman effect. This was John Fetterman's idea. His theme was every county, every vote.
Right.
And
lower the margin. Lower the margin. Yeah, don't try to win. Lower the margin.
Well, they'd like to win, but they knew they couldn't.
Yeah, they can't.
The numbers are just too great.
Yeah.
But lower the margin. You get 3% or 5% here and there, and it kind of adds up. Now, the problem for the Democrats is getting the message out. How do they get it out to those voters that they can capture? Because, as you know, in your county, you don't have real good press coverage.
We have no press coverage. None.
But it's good that he was up there, that you at least Democrats know that there's somebody there and that they're willing to put a fight in instead
what
of just
what it requires,
ignoring.
Though, is a live local party, a live county party. I'm not so sure that the 42 rural counties have live Democratic Party organizations, county organizations. I think that from what I've seen, for the most part, these are tired groups of people who've been at it for a long time, don't think they can get anywhere, but, you know, feel a devotion to it, and they go through the motions, but there are no young people.
They've been beaten down for a long time.
Yeah.
And this is why you have to have a long-term strategy.
Yeah.
That you have to revive this. I told you that my wife and I were in Adams County not long ago down in Gettysburg, and they had a storefront, and they had it manned, and the lady who was manning it seemed to, have a little bit of pep in her. So we'll have to see on that.
Well, what I'm getting at, I guess, is that I think that if Casey really wants to make sure that the strategy he outlined works, he got to allocate some money to hire full-timers to staff some of these offices. You can't depend on the part-time work of tired party organizations. You got to juice them up. You got to offer them each a couple of full-timers. One per county won't do it. At least a couple so they have two people to work with each other. I remember when Obama ran, that's what they did. They opened up offices in a lot of counties, and they sent in people. Not one person, people. And those offices were vibrant.
Yeah, I remember they had an office in Peckville that I'd never seen anybody put an office in Peckville before.
Yeah.
The organization.
They had an office in Montrose with three full-timers. Three!
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. And supposedly the Biden people are gearing up that they've squirreled away their money, and they're now opening up field offices all over in every state that they're while Trump is spending his money on legal fees, Biden is spending his money on putting together a ground game. And as we remember, in 2020, he had no ground game because of the pandemic. The Republicans went out knocking on doors without masks. They didn't care.
Yeah.
But this one, we'll see. This is a most people say this is a turnout your base election, and Trump is trying to do that. I think a lot of the wind has left his sails, but he'll revive that.
Do you see any kind of ground organization in the McCormick camp in Lackawanna County?
No.
Or have you heard of it anywhere in the state?
No. I have not. The only thing I saw was that Matt Cartwright's opponent had that fundraiser out there at a physician's house with the Speaker of the House came in. Haven't seen anything yet. Haven't seen any signs yet for McCormick or, you know, the Trump people have been out there since for the last 4 years, but I'm not seeing a lot for McCormick. Although I like his signs, they say Dave. I got to get myself one of those, maybe a couple buttons for my collection there.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of rural, I just want to throw this out. You have to give the Republicans a lot of credit for imagination. Down in Texas, they've come up with an idea that Greg Abbott is being challenged again. And they've come up with an idea that this is the year the Democrats are supposed to take over Texas. It's not going to happen. But that not only do you have to win the popular vote, but now you're going to have to win a majority of the counties. Texas is over 200 counties. Many of them are just like here in Pennsylvania, rural and sparsely populated. Out there, you might have counties with only a few hundred people in them. And that's an interesting way of looking at things and preventing a Democrat from ever winning a statewide office because all of those smaller counties are Republican. Now, of course, that would violate the idea of one man, one vote. If you imagine a Democrat winning 55% of the vote and then being told you only won 10% of the counties, you can't serve.
There's a lot of states where the winning candidate wins two counties because that's where the people live.
Ed Randell won he won 10 out of 67 counties once, or 8 out of 67 counties. But this is the deception on the maps, you know, that you see large swaths of red and smaller parts of blue, but the smaller parts of blue have more people than the large swaths of red. You know, land doesn't vote, people vote. That's the thing. The Republicans like it a different way.
That's right. The Republicans like it a different way. Well, that's it for this week.
We never even got to the Supreme Court, which is going to have to say on some of
these. We didn't get
things.
To Joe Manchin. We didn't get a lot of places. But, you know, this trial has had great significance.
And we'll see this week how, you know, what the follow-up is.
Yeah.
Does Trump try to change the dialogue because of by picking a VP candidate this week? Or does he just is he going to wait? We'll see.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Wish my dear wife a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rhonda.
There you go.
21 again.
Again. Of course.
Okay. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week. Same time, same place.